Hello, I'm Phil Svitek, 360 Creative Coach, and welcome to my blog, where it's both my mission and my pleasure to highlight my creative journey with the hope that it brings you both inspiration and gives you specific takeaway to make your journey at least a little bit easier. Now, before I fully dive into everything, I would love to take the opportunity to invite you to subscribe if you haven't already. That way you get all the various lessons and episodes that I put out right when I put them out. Thank you if you just did, and thank you if you already were. It truly does mean a lot to me. I hope it does to you. So let's get into this. It's no secret if you've been following me that the bulk of my creative work has gone into my animation project, right? A quick recap, just in case you aren't aware. There's a new movie that I want to put out into the world called The Arbiters. And I've been working on it for 2 years at this point in terms of the script and other aspects. And in order to get it made, we're looking to create a proof of concept in the form of a teaser trailer to highlight what the movie is, to entice financiers and yada, 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 right? So that's what we're working on at the moment. And very recently, we essentially shot live action reference footage instead of making animatic. We decided to, do it live action as much as we could and get the timing down and so forth. So I talked about that last week. And since that time to now, I've essentially edited everything. And we have a rough draft of the teaser. Now I say rough draft because it's still not done. I feel like overall, it ends up being about 2 minutes, and the first minute and a half, I think, is very, very solid. There's just one piece of, dialogue that isn't quite exactly what I need to be, and we're literally talking just a quick little sentence. But apart from that, like the shots and things like that, I feel very good about. Then there's the last, 25 seconds that, in spirit or overall there, but in terms of the narration, need a little bit help. And what was missing was this kind of iconic, holy crap, I need to see this movie. I want to see this movie type of shot. And so, I was kind of really working with the team this past week to kind of address that and be like, okay, well, what do we want? What am I even looking for? What should it be? And things of that nature. And I think we're getting closer and closer. I think like with anything, when you feel overwhelmed, and this doesn't just, for filmmaking, it just applies to all of life in general. It's like, okay, let me take a step back. And what's the overall first step that I can take that helps address this, right? Just take any action step and start to build momentum. And so it was like, okay, well, first step was, let me ask for feedback from the team. What is it that we're even looking for? Yes, it needs to be an iconic shot, but what is it, And I asked a couple of friends and who watch anime, and I was like, hey, forget the story. I know you don't really know the story because they haven't read it. Not their fault. I just haven't shared it with them. But the point being, I asked them, hey, what's something that, what do you wish you saw in a movie or a TV show, a shot, something just that would bring so much joy to you or make you go, holy effing crap. And, I got some answers from drone shots and, kind of other stuff and things of that nature. I was like, okay, cool. And I was like, okay, well, let me figure out how maybe that can be incorporated and stuff like that. And then with my team, I said, what's a moment within the script or, even if it's not even if we manipulate it, where it's not 100% how it would be in the script, how we would manipulate it for the purpose of the teaser, what would that be, right? And I think, in building out this teaser initially, I very much wanted to remain in the style of the script. If this was the teaser for the movie, what would that look like? And, in editing the teaser itself, it was just kind of falling short a little bit. Not because the movie itself isn't dynamic. And if we had the full movie essentially made, I think we could make a very amazing you know, teaser for it and trailer for it, but I think it just, it's a self-limiting, it's an imposition that we don't need, right? The teaser itself still remains very true to the spirit of the script, but it's okay if we invent dialogue or moments for the purposes of the teaser, you know, because at the end of the day, without that being great, we're never going to get the interest we need in order to finance the full feature itself. And again, it's not lying. We're still keeping the core spirit, but if it's like, if a line of dialogue isn't in the teaser or is in the teaser and doesn't end up in the script, like, okay, so what? I don't think people will remember it as long as the script itself, you know, once they see the teaser and they're interested in reading the script, they can read the script and be excited for having read the script, right? And so forth. So that's kind of the goal. And, you know, in talking with all of my team, yes, it kind of pushes us to another level because there's a greater level of complexity involved, especially on the animation side. But my feeling has always been, part of my role is to challenge us to do really great work, to showcase what we are capable of, especially if the goal is, you know, for everyone involved, you know, the goal is to showcase what we're capable of so that way we can then make this movie. We can get the funds needed to make this movie. And in that sense, it's like, if I know that won't happen simply because, you know, it might be a little bit harder, you know, and we opt for the easier route, then I've let the entire team down. And, you know, at the same time, you know, the team, my core team here in the US that I work with, who are not the animation team, they're more of the story development and, you know, things of that nature, the producing side, they know that I really much value their input. And I think with the animation team, they're starting to learn that they can very much bring something to the table. And I'll let them know if something isn't quite there, but we can still, even if like the idea to bring to the table doesn't quite fit the rules of the universe or something like that, we can easily, you know, figure out, okay, what's the golden nugget here that we can use out of that idea, right? And so I think they're starting to understand that, which has been great. You know, I'm having more face time with them. And so I think they see that I truly do appreciate them and trying to empower them. And, you know, something simple as there's one shot that we did where we're sort of looking down on the characters and they're in a crowd. And so you see their feet. Well, they were like, you know, can we make it more level so that way we're just seeing their upper bodies and not having to animate all their feet? I said, yeah, totally, right? Because at the end of the day, in that sense, it doesn't change up the, like, it doesn't change up what the shot is going for. Now, if it did, then I would say, hey, you know, here's the reason why, you know, I can't have that. But, like, if it really was important to see their feet for whatever reason, then, you know, I'd say so. But in that sense, it's like, okay, no, totally fine. It doesn't change the spirit of the shot. It does, you know, it still keeps the momentum of what we're going for. So totally fine. So that's been really fun. And overall, in terms of the process, you know, we're going to kind of focus on the first minute and a half since that's more or less locked in. You know, a couple of frames will change because as we've written new dialogue, you know, we have to re-record certain things and that'll change up the timing. We're talking frames, not seconds. So for the most part, that's pretty much locked in. And then I'll worry about kind of creating the back end of that. And I'll talk about what I'm doing there. But, you know, we're going to focus on the first minute and a half, both musically. We're not going to worry about sound design quite yet. But we're going to, you know, we're working on music. And right now, one of the things I kind of said to the team, you know, going into this was at the end of the day, we have to start with one image for each of the shots. So let's just do that. And then you're going to build out the in-between frames anyway later. So it's not like we have to have things fully picture locked quite here right now. So the sequencing of the shots is going to be what it is for the minute and a half. That's all well and good. So let's just start with that one image and get approval. And then, you know, we'll see it in that way. So, you know, we can keep momentum going while continuing to polish everything else, you know, in terms of the teaser, aka the, you know, the dialogue and so forth. And then with the second half, you know, part of it was I worked with one of the team members. I was like, okay, let's just start with one single frame. You know, this is somebody that I've worked with a lot, Jonathan Moulton, and we sort of are, for the most part, on a similar wavelength. Even if, you know, I can't quite explain it in a certain way, like I can throw out just little words shorthand and he's able to kind of interpret it. So he did this little quick mock-up, essentially drawing, you know, storyboard. I was like, great, that's a great start. That gives us a starting position in terms of where we're going for. And that's, as I said, you know, you always want to just take that first step to build momentum. So now we have that. Then as I thought about it, I was like, okay, I think one of the things that we need is just a floor plan, right? Like a bird's eye view of this scene, this shot, you know, what's going on, who's where, and then we'll figure out where the camera goes. Because, you know, normally when you, at least when I shoot a live action, I encourage everyone to sort of do this, is you block light shoot, right? So you block the actors and then you can figure out the shots from there and stuff like that, you know, how you're going to capture them. So in this sense, okay, so let's block out this scene. Let's draw it out from a bird's eye view, and then we'll figure out what's the coolest camera angle and how's it going and so forth. So that's the next phase of this, and, you know, potentially working with a pre-vis artist to just do a very simple mock-up of this, you know, where, like, a character can literally be represented by like some BS rectangle, right? Like, I don't even need a person shape. I just need like a rectangle, right? So that's kind of it. And we're just taking it in sequence in these phases to get there, right? And also tweaking the narration slash dialogue of that part. You know, the team's kind of thinking about it as well. You know, what I did was I revised... We have a teaser script, so I revised the teaser script specifically, you know, based on the cut we currently have, and I bolded the lines of dialogue that I felt needed to be adjusted so they can know which ones I have issues with and they can, you know, start to think about it. So that's where we're at, and the good news is we can give ourselves the time and opportunity and space to do that while keeping momentum going with all the other stuff. So... It's been really exciting. And one of the things I joked about was, you know, don't be surprised if I end up in the Philippines for the month of September. You know, and I say that, because we're aiming to have the teaser done by like October or somewhere in October. And so for the final stuff, you know, just, you know, me being there. So that way they can essentially ask me for approval, this and that. And, you know, have a more direct connection to me. We'll see if that ends up happening, but don't you be surprised either if that ends up happening. That would be a lot of fun for me. I always love traveling, but with a purpose, and certainly getting to work with, you know, the animation team directly in the Philippines, that would be a joy for me, you know. And then, you know, as far as the LA team here, who, you know, is the producing team, we're going to keep polishing the script. In due time, we've got to make a poster. We've got to start revising the pitch deck, putting together kind of like a mood booklet, and outreach. Once we have these various things, you know, outreach to talent, outreach to other producers and things of that nature. So yeah, you know, that's kind of where we're at in terms of this project. Now, separate of this project, so I mentioned that, at this point, I guess 2 weeks ago, my previous movie, Finding Love in Bogota, released on Amazon. And so I've been, you know, because I've been so in the midst of the Arbiters, I really haven't had time to really put effort into that movie apart from, like, you know, a simple Instagram post or an email. But now I've kind of started just doing outreach to people who I know have platforms, right, like YouTube channels or podcasts and so forth, or social media followings, and saying, hey, you know, if you want to interview anyone from the cast and or me, you know, I'm totally down for that. And so as of right now, there's like one interview that I've we're putting on the books, and I think a couple more may be coming. So, you know, just honoring that film and giving it, you know, a chance at success in the ways that I can. So, yeah, it's something that, yeah, I think all of us need to become a little bit better at, you know. I always am someone that's tries to be very creative and keep things moving and just build assets and, you know, have that foundation of work behind me as evidence of what I'm capable of. But I also, you know, there is that side of it where you do need to promote, you know. And even though that's a year, like at this point, we premiered in 2022 at our first film festival. I did a year of festival runs. Like, it is kind of a little bit an ongoing game. And it is so funny when you see press interviews for, you know, major movies, and you hear actors talk, oh my God, that was so long ago, let me see if I can remember it. Like, it really is that, you know, it's like a past lifetime in a sense ago. And obviously I'm very proud of that movie and stuff like that. But yeah, you just, you know, as a creative, you keep things going, or that's the hope. And so, yeah, but I want to make sure I honor it in that way. And if you haven't checked it out, it's linked to down below. Finding Love in Bogota, it's on Amazon. It's the movie, it's two sets of American tourists. They bump into each other in Colombia, Bogota specifically. And essentially they're searching for something in their own lives, and, you know, collectively they kind of help each other discover that. So that's the movie. I think it's a good movie. You know, at the film festivals, it was well received. It won various awards and stuff like that. So, you know, I think it's a lot of fun. So yeah, you know, kind of doing that as well, and keeping the other things going as much as possible. You know, just in terms of the docket of stuff that I eventually want to get to. There's the my second novel, which, let's be, you know, if we're being honest, has kind of really just been paused for the most part. You know, that's there. What hasn't been paused is my nonfiction book, which is a filmmaking how-to book. Luckily for that, I've got a ghostwriter, so even though it's going not as quickly as one would love, you know, like, we would all want things yesterday type of thing, but at the same time, I can't be upset in any capacity. I'm not upset, because it's progressing, you know. As long as there's progress made little by little, then I can be happy. And so that continues to go. And really, you know, if we can get a draft out, like a really solid draft, where right now we're kind of doing a rough draft, and then if we can revise it before the end of the year, then I think we'll have, like, that's a good accomplishment, right, in my eyes. So there's that. And there's a short film that, you know, I did a while ago, and I think now, actually, with what we're doing with this animation, it can actually be a fun parody, because essentially it's a spoof on, like, film how-tos, and where, you know, there's this Robert Rodriguez type of character who says, you know, you can do anything, you know, blah, 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 and it just takes it to the nth degree of hilarity. And I think by doing what we're doing with the animation, you know, I can pull those elements from that to plug and play into this parody. And finally get that done. So that'll be good. And, you know, speaking of the overall animated movie overall, you know, I'm trying to give you some foresight and give you some details about it. But obviously, you know, it's like anything, at least for me, where if I watch behind the scenes making of and truly see, you know, footage and actual behind the scenes video and pictures and stuff like that, then it helps really display what's going on, right? And we will do that, and we'll share that with the people who pledged to our crowdfund, and then we'll do a kind of less spoiler version that's just more like a tutorial for public consumption as well, which I think will be fun. But you know, that won't happen till much later once we have the actual teaser itself completed. So you know, I look forward to sharing that, but you know, in the meantime, I'm trying to be as open as I can be about everything, but I know it's a little bit detached when you can't quite see it. So I don't take that for granted, and I appreciate you being part of the journey. A couple of other things I wanted to touch upon that aren't necessarily creative projects, stuff like that, but just stuff that's been sort of in my mind. I did see this video on TikTok that I found was interesting, which was that in terms of investing and getting $100,000 like saved up and invested, it's the hardest. But once you get, you know, 100K saved up, then through the power of compounding, it becomes like a snowball effect, which I always knew and things like that. But it was just great to see this in terms of the perspective of that 100K and broken down into numbers. And more specifically, they talked about, that's why a lot of people, you know, say, hey, don't buy avocado toast, don't waste your money on that, because, you know, whatever you can save up and put towards that 100K in terms of an investment and get there as fast as you can, the easier it becomes, right? Now, of course, I think some of that, you know, success guru type crap just talks down upon people and doesn't meet them where they're at, because I don't think everyone's just buying avocado toast and things of that nature. And I think, you know, there's a side to it where we feel like the American dream is so far out of reach that it's like, why bother? You know, especially kind of when you see examples of, let's say, like GameStop, right, where, you know, people were playing the free market, and essentially when Wall Street and other such investors were losing, it's like, okay, they just rigged the game in the favor of those guys. So, you know, I'm not saying it's 100% like do this and everything's gravy, but I think there is a side to it that kind of did resonate with me of, okay, yeah, you know, try to really save up for that 100K and be a little bit frugal. And it does suck in that sense, but you know, once you get there, then it becomes easier because the returns you're making start to become that much faster and so forth. So there's something said to it. I tried to, for whatever reason, I can't find that video again. It was on TikTok, and it was these two guys talking and stuff like that. And luckily, it wasn't the typical like podcast bro BS. It felt a lot more empathetic and sort of right down to the point of actually trying to share genuine advice versus like, you know, you're stupid type of stuff. But yeah, I don't know. It just came and went. I didn't have a chance to like save it, or, you know, if you like a video, then you're able to like see the videos that you liked. And unfortunately, I don't know. I just can't find it. So it's unfortunate in that way. If I do, I'll link to it and stuff like that. But as of right now, I don't have it. But I just thought that was a very interesting perspective of, yeah, really try to be frugal, you know, invest. And the more you can kind of put into that investment, it will pay off. Now, for me, the truth of the matter is, yes, I have obviously investments in various aspects. And, you know, I'm financially stable from, you know, of course, like we all do, we would love to make more money and stuff like that. But, you know, where my investment goes is not necessarily in the stock market. It's more in terms of my projects. I'd rather, you know, put that money towards being able to hire an editor to help me with my book. You know, obviously we did a crowdfund, but there's still aspects of this project in itself that I will have to, you know, put my own money in and things of that nature. So that's kind of how I'm investing in myself. So it's a different way of looking at it, because, you know, in this way, by people seeing my projects, you know, whether they hire me for something, and that happens, you know, quite a bit, or yeah, it itself becomes that major thing. You know, certainly with the Arbiters, it's the most kind of commercial thing that I've ever attempted, let's say. So yeah, you know, it's just kind of a different form of looking at it. But in that same way, in order to fund these things, I try to be very frugal in other aspects of life, knowing that, like, hey, if I'm putting the money into this, then it means I'm not getting to put it into my movie or something like that, right? So it's very much a cognizant thing in that way, right? So I'm choosing how I spend my money in that way. So yeah, I just kind of thought that was interesting. Now, tied to that aspect of certainly making projects, there's a lot of people that I talk to and see on social media that are collectively frustrated. And some of it I can get on board with, you know, the things like we need health insurance, like universal health insurance, and certainly not have it be tied to employment. I think that's important. I think, you know, price gouging by companies is atrocious. You know, the fact that our food is not really food and it's causing inflammation and you know, making us go obese and stuff like that is horrendous and things like that. So that side of it I get. But then I think we sometimes people just, you know, mentally conflate it, and there does become this sense of like entitlement of something, of like, oh, I just need a lucky break. And, you know, I get that it's frustrating when someone doesn't see your value. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, the whole philosophy for myself was, okay, no one's knocking on my door to make movies. So I made my first movie, you know, and then with the second one, while no one was like outright funding it, I did get people to crowdfund and raise some money for it. Not all of the budget, but a good portion, you know, enough to keep me going in that way. And I upgraded, like more people were interested in working with me. I mean, Kenny Harrison, for example, who was a producer on Finding Love in Bogota, you know, he came to me because he was interested in working on the project, because he was like, I've seen what you did with your first movie. I'm interested in your second movie. Let's do it. Right. And, you know, the actors kind of gravitated towards that. And then, you know, by having completed that and having it be, you know, exponentially better than the first in many ways. And that's not a knock on my first one. It just had different goals. The goal was to make a movie for essentially $5,000. So the second one was, you know, better in that way, you know, because we elevated all things, you know, spent a bigger budget, yada, yada, yada. And then now with a third one, it's exponentially more ambitious than either of those movies. And by sort of planting that flag, it's attracting more people to me and to help out and stuff like that. And so you build, you know. But I think too many people are just essentially waiting. And, you know, like there was a person I was talking with who said, you know, I want to move back to LA because I, you know, I feel stagnant and I need to be pushed. I'm like, well, pushed to do what? What do you want to do? I don't know. Okay, so how is LA going to push you? Just, you know, like it has to essentially kind of come from within. You know, they were like, you know, my life in this place is too comfortable. I said, okay, why is that a bad thing? If you got all your bills to be paid and stuff like that, you know, this person's a reporter. And I said, a lot of the shows that I edit in terms of the podcast that I work on, they interview reporters that have written books. What prevents you from doing that, you know, or X, Y, and Z? And it's just mind-boggling in many ways to see how easily people limit themselves, you know? I even talked to the person they were talking about, hey, I want to do a, you know, I like talking about movies and I would love to do a podcast about it. I was like, well, I feel like you could, you know. And I'm like, well, I have no one to talk to. I'm like, you don't know anybody in your life that likes movies? No. And I'm like, do I like movies? Like, yeah, but you're too busy and you would say no. I'm like, I'm glad without even asking me, you already know my answer. You know, and they said, well, would you? I said, if you start to do it right and things like that, I'd be willing to put in the time and stuff like that. But I'm not going to do the legwork for something. And I'm certainly not just, yeah, I'm not going to waste my time. So it better be like, it can't just be like, let me try it for one day and, you know, blah, blah, and never post it. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in, you know, how I used to do Anatomy of a Movie, where everyone was serious about that show and we did a great show. Everyone came prepared, everyone came researched, and boom, we were doing that. And that was a great era when we did Anatomy of a Movie. And we did something different that other movie shows didn't do, because it wasn't just about did we like the movie, did we not. We really highlighted how the movie came together, hence the research. So, yeah, I said, you know, and even if it was just us talking about, do I like this movie, do I not? At the end of the day, it's like, okay, you know, you still have to commit to it, right? There's still effort involved, even if it's minimal. So we'll see, but I don't know. People in many ways are addicted to complaining and a little bit of a degree of victimhood, where we see what is not available to us instead of what is available to you. You know, I was talking with somebody and they were like, no one supports me. I'm like, no. You clarified it for yourself. You said, this person doesn't support me. Yet you keep going to them for the support. What if you opened up, you know, your Rolodex in many ways and see who would support you? I mean, this year alone has been quite fascinating to see who came out of the woodwork and supported me in ways that I needed to. And some people were, you know, people that I knew, but I wouldn't even say we're friends. Not that we're like, you know, not on good terms or something like that, but like they have no real reason to want to help me, and yet they stepped up in very meaningful ways. And so you don't forget that, and you try to, you know, return the favor and things like that, or pay it forward. And you'd be surprised. And, you know, this person that I was talking to, I was like, you're not one to take advantage of people. So I'm like, not really worried about that. What I'm worried about is that you don't even allow people the opportunity to help you. Which is kind of shitty, because you're saying no one can help you, right? Like we don't want to be a burden on people. But why is it that's a very ego thing? Why not allow people? You're saying no one's good enough to help you? Yeah, I don't know. It's this aspect that we just limit what is available to us simply, I don't know, just a simple thought, right? You know, I was even talking with somebody who wants to be an actor, and I said, okay, well, if you really want to be an actor, you can move to another part of the country that's far cheaper and do local plays. I get the sense, you know, and I told them, I didn't get the sense that, you know, despite how hard LA may be, this is what you really want to do. And I get that it's hard, but if you know, in your heart of hearts, all you really want to do is act, like, there's a possibility forward. You know, and I even talked about my friend Daryl, who, you know, for 6 months was like, okay, I'm going to focus on hosting for 6 months, and that's it. I'm not going to, you know, there's opportunities that are going to come that aren't hosting. They're going to try to suck me away, but I'm going to focus on hosting. And when he did that, you know, I would say like the first 5 months, quote unquote, nothing was really hitting. It was arduous. And then in that last month, all of a sudden the floodgates opened and he was seeing the results. But the, you know, the 5 months you can imagine were very difficult. And, you know, I said to a person, like, why not look at it that way? Like, you know, why not, you know, they're Latina. So I said, why not go to, like, you know, people in Colombia, you know, very high people in Colombia. I said, why not reach out to them and see if there's an audition that you can do for like a telenovela or something like that, or go to Mexico and, you know, try to do a telenovela. And like, oh, this, and yeah. I'm like, why? You know, like a Melissa Barrera or Ana de Armas, they start off in telenovelas and look at where they're at now. And, you know, and even if you don't necessarily get to that level, at least it starts that, oh, I don't want to do telenovelas. I'm not telling you to do telenovelas forever. It's a foot in the door. It's a momentum building. And I think it's people just want things on their own terms, a little bit too much. Now, for me, in doing my own projects, yeah, you can argue those are on my terms. Well, yes, they are, because they're projects that I'm interested in and want to put out into the world. But certainly my terms, if I had it outright, would be like that people would be paying me and the rest of the team to do it full time, as opposed to like a side thing that I myself am mostly have been funding and stuff like that. And so we, you know, we all have to go through this and kind of prove ourselves in that way. And yes, I think the Hollywood gatekeepers can be idiotic, and you know, everyone thinks they'll know what sells, but no one has a clue. And there's a lot of stuff broken with the Hollywood system, trust me, and it's egregious. And it doesn't need to be that way, right? But at the same time, in lieu of fixing that, you know, what can you do? What is available to you? And start to think of it that way. What resources do you have? Like, so many filmmakers I know, they think about like, oh, well, I don't have a red camera, I don't have this, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, well, what do you have? Because the filmmakers that are starting to succeed, that's the way they looked at it, you know? Okay, I have an iPhone and this and that, and I'm going to go make it. I mean, there's been professional movies shot on iPhones, and that was the hook. So it's time to let go of some of the excuses. So, you know, and we all have our down moments. Like, listen, I'm not knocking anyone. I have plenty of down moments. You know, as I talked about, like, the teaser, there was that sort of one day after I edited it, and I started to see, like, all the problems with the teaser. I was like, oh, my God, is this going to work? Like, how do we fix this, this, and that? But I took the steps forward, and I think oftentimes people do know steps forward in many ways, but then they don't take them. And it's sad to see, really. So just wanted to kind of highlight that, share that, offer some perspective, offer some, you know, a path forward, if you will. Anyway, yeah, that's what I have for this week. Thank you so much, as always, for taking time to tune in. Please comment down below or hit me up on social media with any questions you have, whether about this or, you know, a tutorial like me to do or whatever else, you know. I always want to bring you the most value. So, you know, having you interact with me in that way and helping navigate that is always a benefit, because then I know what you're looking for. So thank you so much. I appreciate you. I hope to see you next time.